Morning, everyone.
Morning, Mr. Mayor.
Morning,
Mr. Mayor.
Lord, thank you for your presence here today. Give us strength, wisdom, and direction with decisions and challenges we need to make and face today. Keep us physically safe and guard our hearts and mind from pride and selfishness. Bless this meeting today and all those present, as well as the lives of those we will encounter afterwards. Lord, we praise you and we thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
I would like to acknowledge the land traditional owners of the land we are meeting on today. We pay our respects to its leaders, past, present and emerging. Today, we stand together side by side, united with respect for our land, for oneself and for one another. Any apologies? And remembrance today, the lady we've got, Audrey Gale, Kenneth Ebsworth, Nora Roberts, Patricia Duncan and George Thompson. We'll have a minute silence through for those. Thank you, councillors. Councillor, before we go into formally in front of all of us here today, I'd like to welcome David Perry here today. I think he's all met David and know what he's all about. This is our first meeting, so welcome, David.
Thank you very much.
And I'm sure we all look forward to working together unitedly, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Apologies, we've got Councillor Barton. Can I have a mover and seconder for that? Councillor Barton, Councillor Dyington, all those in favour? That's carried. Declaration of interest forms are there. The other thing that I've been pulled up for, councillors, every item we go in today, I need a mover and a second before we go into them. And I do apologise, but we have to do that correctly now we're on scope. So just remember that every time we go on, give me a move and a second before we go into debate. Mayoral Minute, I just wanted to add a couple of things to that Mayoral Minute thing. Myself, the General Manager, Mr. Ross Allen, Manager of Corporate Services, Leonie Brown, met with the Western Area Health Man, Brian Bonham, and Pat Candy. Over breakfast last week over the health situation in Bourke. Myself and the general manager had a radio meeting down at 2WEB, and of course on Friday night we had the Blue and Water Tobacco Bourke exhibition. That was quite well attended and went off well. So I'll move that those mayoral minutes be accepted. Thank you, Councillor Davis. Any questions on anything there, Councillor?
In relation to Mr. Bonham, there's a follow-up letter been sent to him asking the questions that he didn't have answers to at the meeting.
Not at this point in time, but in answer to most of yours, Councillor Thompson, he was quite agreeable to most of them to give us information. So that'll be interesting to see whether it is forthcoming. Yeah. Starring of items. Anything on page 5?
Yeah, water restrictions.
What number is that, Councillor Suckle?
13.5.
Thank you. So we go over to page 6.
21.2.
21.1?
2, engineering services.
you. Nothing further, councillors? Confirmation of the minutes?
Correspondence for a start, isn't it? Is that 20.2?
Yep. Should be, they should be, yeah.
Move in a second for the unstarred items, please. Councillor Barney, Councillor Stuttle, all those in favour? That is carried, thank you. Shall I move for a second for the confirmation of the minutes? Councillor Ford and Councillor Cole, all those in favour? There is no note of motion, no rescinded motion. Business arising, page 10.
You will note that's been submitted in accordance with wishes of the previous council meeting.
Can I have a move in a second of that, please? Yes. Councillor Ford and Councillor Rice, all those in favour? Carried, thank you. Yes, and now we're right now. So we're on page 10, councillors. Page 11. Page 12. Page 13.
There's a couple of pages missing, Mr. Mayor.
Hey?
Is there a couple of pages missing out of the business arising?
Let me see. Oh, look at the face there.
Couple of items.
That's good. Just a
right. So I've got a mover and second for the business arising. Be accepted. All those in favour? That's carried, thank you. So we're on business arising page. We've done that, that's done, so where's the next start? 11.4, page 17, councillors. Could I have a move and a second for this, please? Councillor Davis, Councillor Rice. Thank you. That manager works.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our old water meters system is in disarray at the moment. The old green grenade type meters are costing council money at the moment. We've got up to 40% losses in our system somewhere from the water treatment plant into all the houses around town. At this stage, we believe it's grenade meters. They, when you buy them, they state that they lose 3-5% accuracy per year, and it's always in the favour of the owner of the house. It's never council way. They come rushed up and go forward. They always get slower. They were only guaranteed for 10 years, and they'd lose 5% over every 10 years. So we've had them in for now around 17 years, which is way past the use-by date. And we're noticing every time now that we do a meter read or a walk twice a year, we're getting between 60 and 80 replacements. So they're well and truly on the use-by date. And the ones that are still working are obviously reading half of what they should be or even considerably more. So these new type of meters we've got, they're called a smart meter that will, if we buy the whole internal system and the license to run it, there'll be a computer link back to base that the finance will be able to read, and they'll be able to automatically read every day. So you can get into it as much as, and there's an ability for customers to identify leaks in their own property. We'll get a red flag on our system. If we want to go that far, we could potentially ring and say, hey, for some reason last night, between the hours of 12 and 12, there was 1,000 litres went through your taps. We know you're asleep. You may have a problem and your water's leaking in the sewer. So this is the new technology that's out there. And we've already installed 350-odd of these meters because we had to replace anyway. These have got a 15-year lifespan of complete accuracy over those 15 years. They can be read four times a day. And obviously, we need to manage our water better. And I believe these meters will give us that opportunity. And we also have a lot of troubles with when we read meters with complaints of rereads, and these won't be able to be questioned. We'll be able to put it up on the computer and let everyone know what exactly the amount of water they're using for a 15-year period. They are quite expensive, but I think we'll get the results that we need.
Any questions, Joe? Councillor Ford, then Councillor Sussell. Councillor Sussell?
I'd just like to know whether, obviously, you can manually read the new ones?
Yes.
Correct. Because I was thinking when I was reading it that perhaps we should have been checking beforehand. They're working all right before we go and spend more money.
Yep.
But I can see there's a...
So it's $350 already.
$13,000 or something up front or something.
So we've already replaced, you know, a fair few. We're going in and reading them now. All the technology is inside the meter. We just haven't bought the package that goes in the cloud and reports back to council to our finance system.
And that includes, there must be some sort of... Oh, what do you call it, like?
$13,000 license fee every
year. Yeah, but that's to do the reading more. Yeah. I can tell
no, that's,
you
just
sort
that's
of
possible.
Yeah, they've got some degree of clergy attached to it.
It's just the license.
Yeah. So there's two parts you can buy. You can either have one attached to your garbage truck that drives around and will read every time the garbage truck drives by that house, or the one that actually goes to sleep. And I think Burke's small enough and confined enough that just with one aerial on our, whether it goes on the one of the water towers, it will pick up more Burke and all surrounds and just be a lot better system. Meritorfully only whoever decides that can read that at any stage.
I've got Councillor Thompson first and then you, Councillor Cole. Councillor Thompson?
Three things, Mr. Mayor. I take it that if somebody has an illicit cannabis plantation, then using town water will be immediately noticeable.
Correct, yeah.
Secondly, how long do the batteries last?
15
Depends
years.
Depends on how big it is.
Batteries last 15 years?
15 years, yeah.
And with regard to the telemetry, each meter will need a SIM card, will it not?
I believe the SIM card's already built into it, or however that technology works.
But then you have to pay for it.
No, there's $13,000 license agreement with the... We've got a... There's a government frequency that they use. I'm not quite sure what that number is. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but we're entitled to that, and that's the system it goes through, and we pay every part of that every year. Yeah.
So you don't have to pay the usual price one pays
for
SIM card?
This will just be a $13,000 one-off payment, and we can read it up. We can read every meter four times a day.
That's once a year. Mm.
Yes, that's correct.
I think one of the other advantages, too, that some of the meters that are in in places which are hard to access, and occasionally in yards with his dog, so that'll it just say, you know, say that.
Correct, yeah, well. I mean, in most cities now, they're in the front yards. We have back lanes, they're all in the backyards with 6 foot tin fences, and the guys really struggle to read them with a set of binoculars. And yeah, some meters come back backwards, and some, yeah, so unfortunately, this would be a lot better system. And
that doesn't make sense.
Mr. Mayor, I don't think the system will pick up Councillor Thompson's three plans. It's going to be right. But that's not what I was going to ask. But I was just going to ask Brownie, what's the situation with, you know, leakages in the, you know, you say you've got 40% losses, which is to do with meters, but do we also have a leakage problem?
Look, I believe in every system, you know, in all the meetings I've been to and around, all councils believe they have between a 1 and 5% loss through water mains going into sandy soils, cracks, sewers, leaks that aren't detected. And I believe we have the same. The 40% losses we have that I'm putting down in the meters is because Burke's hard black clay that, you know, when you dig up the back, it's so hard to get through. The water always comes to the top, very rarely to the bottom. So that's why, you know, I'm blaming the meters for the losses in the field of water system because we don't have those losses in the raw, I believe. So, yeah.
One of the advantages I would say is, through Mr. Mayor, if I can just comment on the accuracy, is that once we determine how much water is being used, how much is produced, at the moment, if some of the meters aren't reading accurately, you can't really gauge what the losses are. Yeah. If all the meters are reading accurately, it should say, this is what we've got, and we've still got losses. But then, following your comment, Councillor Cole, is that we can then say, okay, there's only got to be unmetered supplies, or alternatively, there is undetected leakage. So there's only two other options. So, and one would hope that.
It's not a comment, it's just a question.
We've
had a leak up outside TWEB for at least a year, and I've notified it, and it's just still leaking. I don't know how many of those around town are.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, that's the first I've heard. Councillor Cole, so there's a leak in front, and usually all the job requests come through me, so I'm not quite sure who that's getting reported to. But just one other comment: our bulk meter that we use, it gets calibrated every 3 months for our licence agreement with New South Wales Water and Depot Water. We have to report to them, so we know it's fairly accurate. And we know that it doesn't match up with the outside meters, so we're definitely...
Yeah, I just looked, Mr. Mayor, I looked at, Ross's material that's been sent out on, how much you lose from a leaking pipe or a leaking tap. I just think that if you've got 100 of those around town, which you can quite possibly do, you're losing a lot of water.
Yeah. That's why I believe it's important that we go onto this system. See, anything that can help us save water for our community, step in the right direction. Councillor Sutherland?
I would have thought that the ones with the new meters, we would have been able to compare their readings now with the prior and get some idea. Has their usage gone up 10% or 100% actually?
A lot
for 17 years.
So, sure, you missed me. All the ones with new meters, all the complaints we're receiving for higher usage are the new meters.
Well, we don't want them.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. On that point, the water supply is on a cost recovery basis, isn't it? So when all the meters are installed, effectively there should be no difference in the cost to the individual housekeeper.
No, because it's from the bulk meter. So we do our costs on the bulk meter. So we're losing revenue, unfortunately.
But in the changeover, the people with the smart meters are actually suffering now compared to those without smart meters.
Correct, at this stage.
Any further debate, councillors? So it's been moved by Councillor Davidson, seconded by Councillor Rye. So no further debate. All those in favour? That's carried. Thank you. page 32. Allow public children to return their education early. Now, mover and second over that, please. Councillor Darlington, Councillor Thompson. Thank you. GM.
We're actually leasing a little bit of land to allow public schools, so they can establish a preschool which encroaches on some of our land, so they're keen to get it going. And so,
I've already done that.
I'm jumping the gun.
It's hardly my fault that I've done it this way before. And the deputy mayor's been on to me about it, and I'm trying to get it right today. So thank you for that.
But do Councillor Cole notes the mayor that he's not jumping the gun? The gun's already gone off.
A bit smart. Behind the gun.
So you've got it there, Councillor. Moved by Councillor Dorrington, second by Councillor Thompson. Any more debate on that? All right, all those in favour? Well, that's carried. Thank you. Page 35, we're on to now, councillors. Move in a second, please. So that Councillor Stuffle and Councillor Cole.
your GM unit?
Yep.
That's a separate sheet that was distributed this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Under the previously approved allocations,
what do you want to do?
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Thank you, Councillor Thompson. Sorry, Ross.
Under the previously approved allocation, there's 150 the Drought Community Extension Fund round two, is 105,000 has been allocated to small community groups. We advertised and we've got these groups applications in for varying amounts. They total 152,000, so obviously we've got a bit of a shortfall. Rather than have a situation where we debate all things for a couple of hours of the council meeting, the recommendation is the delegation is to be, as with the NXT, we'll go through and just try and determine an equitable distribution of the funds. But there is a $7,500 maximum, and there is people who have had previously had the opportunity to gain money out of the previous Drought Extension Drought Communities Fund, and also the Strong Communities Fund. We just try and make sure there's equitable spread of this money right across the shire. So I recommend the delegation is there that you entrust me to make a call on this.
Any questions, councillors? Councillor Barbary?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, as Ross just said, that the council delegates general manager authority to say who should or who shouldn't get this funding. There's things on here that I'd like to see put through that maybe the general manager may not like. And as a councillor, some people who actually applied for this, they're funding for different things, they say, well, why did they get it? And if I say, well, I had nothing to do with it, the general manager did. Item number seven is one thing I'd like to see.
I think I'm maybe right here, Councillor Barbary. That's you're quite in your right here. You have to move a motion, am I right with that? What's against the recommendation?
You've got a motion now. You need an amendment if you want to change that.
So. Yeah. Would you like to do that, Councillor Barbary?
Yeah, I just wanted to know because when people ask me, I've got to be able to give them an informed answer to that.
Do you want to include in that we do it now or later on?
It's up to you, Mr. Mayor.
It's up to you, you're moving the Councillor Ford.
Just as a matter of process, we'll have to move a separate motion
from that.
That we then have to vote on as to whether we want it to go in that direction or then, if that was to lose, then we can vote on the original motion.
So I accept his motion now.
I'm not making a motion, Mr. Mayor. I'm just asking a question.
That it be that council be included in the decision making, am I right there?
No, I'm just asking a question so that I can tell people that, the council and majority have authorised the general manager to make that decision. That's all I want to, if we can authorise a general manager, I'm okay with that. But I just want to be able to say, yes, this is what council have voted on.
That's what we are doing.
If you want to change it for you to have a say, you've got to put the amendment you were just saying.
I don't want to make an amendment. Just asked a question.
Well, if you're not going to make council... Barbary is supporting the recommendation.
I'm supporting it, but I wanted to know why are we okaying the general manager to do himself?
The simplicity.
But well, we're not. We've got to accept that recommendation
Maybe I'm a bit narrow-gar and I'm putting it the wrong way around.
Because we don't want to be here all day arguing about it.
That's
stage two.
Okay. I rescind everything that I've said.
No, you're fighting your rights to say that, right. Councillor Barbary. And if you want to change it and have a say in it, you're fighting your rights to do that.
Mr. Mayor, I trust the general manager to make any and all wise decisions that come under that recommendation.
Councillor David.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. So,
councillors, please.
So, Victor's informed response to someone who asks is that we have given the general manager the ability to make that decision, And if they want to question the decision, they can talk to the general manager.
And I'm sure
And that we put our faith behind the general manager to make a decision on something that we don't necessarily have to.
And I'm sure, Councillor Barbie, that the DM will bring it back to Councillor Barbie as well.
Well, I think all Victor wanted to know is if someone asked him, what did he say?
Councillor Thompson?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, a question. There were 26 successful applicants, Mr. GM. How many unsuccessful were there?
They're not successful. That's a list of applicants.
Oh, it's a list of applicants.
So all we're doing now is go through and look out which ones comply with the guidelines, which ones have had a previous, say, funding, and which ones never had previous funding, and whether there's a duplication if you like, if I look at item 24 and 26, for example, you'll find that there's two lots of gear for one town. We don't need that. Graeme's been given Graeme, manager of the Environmental Services, Mr. Wood, has been giving me a hand in the coordination. Is Graeme going to give like that?
Yeah, through general manager. Just on what Victor and I are saying here, and Councillor Barton, sorry, and Councillor Thompson. Yeah, 26 projects have come in with this. There's 152,000, just over 152,000. Manager of Corporate Services, and also Linda Collis, our consultant grant officer, we've had a look at what's come in, and we think everyone can get a bite of the cherry out of it. As Ross just said, people like Lanari, they've come in with quite, as you can see, they've got four things on the bottom of the list, or five, whatever it is. But there's a couple of organisations there who want chairs and tables. So I'm pretty sure if we went back to them and said, what about if we look at buying the Wanaran community some chairs and tables, then the Gymkhana can use them, the radio can use them, and they'll be stored at, for instance, the community hall, and it's back on the Progress Association then to, they can either hire them out, lend them out, do whatever they want. But I'm pretty confident that all the applicants will get some bite of the cherry. They might get the whole of total, but we'll be able to meet a lot of their requests. So, it might be that the fishing club, for instance, they've asked for three Eskies and some shay. Well, instead of getting three Eskies, they must get two Eskies. But I'm pretty sure that they'd be happy with two Eskies instead of three, better than nothing. So,
better than none.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that we can whittle that down and still make people very happy.
Councillor Ford?
Just a quick question as to the applicants that could apply for the money. So there's a couple of NGOs in amongst that group. Now they were entitled to apply for our community money. That's part of
that. That was part of the guidelines on that.
Any organisation could apply. I'm probably a little negative to, and I've been known for this over the years, I've been pulled up for it a few times, but I'm a little bit negative to the NGOs, that I find that a lot of funding comes to town through them and doesn't necessarily get used on a lot more than cars. And that's been a complaint across our community a lot, and to be giving them money in relation to that, I sort of find sometimes that people are a little bit we may leave ourselves open to a little bit of criticism.
If I can answer your question, Councillor Ford, they're the sort of things we look at in the assessment process, alternative funding streams, previously allocated funding, the size of the organisation and things like that. So it's the manager of the Environmental Services said, hopefully we'll try and spread as far as we can, and again, I think it's just indicative of the conversation. If we were to do it here, we'd be a while trying to balance it out. So again, I don't necessarily want to have to be a sale arbitrage. That's myself. We as the team, we'll go through it and look at the history, and hopefully we'll get a result that suits everybody, or the majority.
Other councillors have been moved by Councillor Stuffield, seconded by Councillor Cole. If there's no further questions, all those in favour? That's carried. Thank you.
Can I just withdraw my seconding of that and put someone else in? Now, I just realised that TWEB...
Well, I've already voted on something. Where do I head from that?
Well, I didn't realise until I read this paper this morning. It came up. It just dropped on my desk this
this morning, so I can't really second it.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Put me in there. Keep the figure.
Right.
And I didn't vote on it.
So, Councillor Paul will have taken that leadership. How do I stand here? I said I've already put through the system.
We have got a chorus now.
This is a problem with late business papers, is that you sometimes, especially when they get dropped on your desk in the morning. I'm not being critical.
Yeah, but sometimes we can't help that.
Saying that has happened and therefore I have to withdraw.
So, I've still got Councillor Stuttle moving the motion, and I've got Councillor Ford seconding. So, we're okay, everything is okay with everything there?
Sure.
Thank you. So we move on.
Yeah,
I think I should take a vote on that now. So all this time you're voting on it, it's been moved by Councillor Stuttle and it's been seconded by Councillor Ford. All those in favour?
It's carried.
Is it? I'm sure that's right there. Sorry, Councillor Thompson.
Mr. Mayor, could I point out that because of the association of various of the councillors with organisations in town, that's another reason why perhaps it should be delegated with confidence to the GM or his delegate, because
good point.
They don't have that. So if they do have that association, so the council officer should be stepping aside as well. But I mean, there's one, I'm involved, Mr. Councillor Bartley's involved, Councillor Cole's involved, and so on. So
dig down even up in the
room.
I think what Councillor Thompson said is quite valid, actually. We need to look at that.
I mean, the general rule of thumb is, I know I've been through this with a couple of councillors before, if you're on the executive of an organisation, you've probably got a person of interest. If you're on the board or you're a member, you probably haven't got that nexus gets a bit weaker, I suppose, but I put that out there. But if you're holding an executive role in the organisation, surely there's not a huge interest for sure. But if you're just a member of the PNC, for example, you probably wouldn't have that. But anyway, I won't, because we're getting taped, I won't give a definitive ruling on that, but I will undertake to give out a bit more of a clarity on the few interests going forward.
Well, we need to move on, councillors. We're on to page 35 now, the motions of the Western Division Conference in Broken Hill on the 18th and 20th of March. And there's a recommendation on page 39. And if we move in the second, Councillor Stuttle, Councillor Rice. Any questions?
So just like, looking to do another couple. One is on two things. Is one size fits all, which relates to when things like this, one government risk management, internal audit committee, they put in the implication of that on smaller councils. Those things can't dump one size fits all councils expect us all to comply. It makes it extremely difficult. And can I say that from my understanding is that that's been a problem with what our councils are facing, and one of the motions we've got there on that committee is that someone who's got the expertise, been on council, for example, can't be on the internal audit committee for another 8 years, basically, is my reading of it, and ex-council staff can't be on the committees. It makes it a little bit difficult to get people who are qualified and prepared to do it. The other one, which has just come to, which I'll just frame, is probably more of a, there's a comment. Dwayne's just been to a course, manager of environmental services, been to a course to get his accreditation done, which means he's got to go to Dubbo, for example. And with that, there's a number of accreditation points you've got to achieve. Currently, it's 12, which they're talking to make it go to 20 or 25. Hit 24, so basically double. It makes it, when we've got three people in our health and building, area, for example. If they're going to maintain the accreditation, it's going to cost us money to send people around. What we're suggesting, perhaps, is while we accept we want people to be accredited and have the knowledge, perhaps when we look at Western New South Wales, the CPD point for persons that have got to travel to an occasional seminar should increase, say, from 2 to 3, for example, just to give the effort which goes to attend those meetings and the difficulty and cost in attending accreditation courses. But anyway, but I haven't put those through yet, but I just thought I'd like to
mention those. Councillor David?
It's just a bit, whatever you want to call it. No, I've noticed that, the wild dog motion in there twice.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's
why I reinforce it. Yeah, I love the wild dog.
Sorry about that. That's
we want to reiterate this problem. No.
Yeah, it's actually probably not a bad thing.
While these conferences go to Westminster, they don't go anywhere from there. They go, it's up to them, up to the council, where we want them to the state conference, which we held in November as opposed to October. They've put it back a month. Because of the elections, but we decide which ones we want to put forward. I mean, it's an opportunity we can complain and we like. I think when you put motions up at the state conference, you'll find a lot, especially on a rural issue, a lot of the rural councils will support us because it's a problem we all face.
Other councillors, moved by Councillor Tuttle, seconded by Councillor Rollins. And if no further questions, all those in favour? Carried, thank you. We're on page 40 now, and there's a recommendation on page 41. Can I move it to either Councillor Rice, Councillor Bartley? Thank you.
This early days of the shed. So basically, what we're just doing, we've got a model. This we've got a significant number of arrangements arranged within our shire. So we really want to know what the long-term impact is going to be. There is a couple of people we can talk to, Julian Kilby, who's done some work for Berkshire Council and the Western Roads program, which Kevin Humphries, when he was the local member, put into place. And we just want to see what it means to the council before we support or otherwise. It's early days. The ministers, the government's come out and said they're going to take, I think it's 15,000 kilometres of regional roads, and they'll put it back under their own banner. So at the moment, we do a lot of work for the maintenance of roads, state highways and regional roads. So what we need to do, just because of the potential impact on us on our work, what we need to know exactly what's happening. So we're taking a pretty strong interest in what's happening and getting the details. As soon as they have any hearings or explanatory sessions, we should make sure we're there.
Any questions, Councillor Thompson?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. General Manager, in the event that the state government takes over the maintenance and improvement of these roads, will that detract from the availability of work for our own road crew to do this work for the state government or not?
Well, potentially. Yeah. I mean, at this stage, we do the state highways, nearest RMS officers, one's at Minden, I think, and there's one at Parks. But they're the sort of things we just got to monitor, yeah, Councillor Thompson, there's a lot of work we do, and we do the state highways as well. We do a lot of that work, what they call the single invitation contracts, so we get the quote, we do the work. It forms a very important part of our overall ability to keep our workforce going. But also, it's important that we have that extra work to make sure we're able to have all the gear like we can do the work. So, that's what I'm saying, we just need to monitor it.
Yeah, we need that in
that.
Goes through to 2056, we should start investigating solar powered graders and stuff too. Of course, we're going to be zero at 2050.
Yeah. I will say there's a lot of work. Yeah. A lot of work still to be done, Mr. Mayor, but we need to be on the front foot.
It's not just a matter of managing, we need to know where we can go. Any further debate, councillors? You're up to date with what we're on about there? All those in favour? That's carried. Page 46, Councillor Slattery, you brought that up, didn't you? Water restrictions?
I'm going to call it that since I
know. I'll move in a second, please. Councillor Slattery, Councillor Ford, thank you.
I would have thought with the levy bank suddenly having to get renewed, that perhaps we could have no water restrictions.
Here in Bourke? Yes. Well, I think there's a reason why we're trying to do the right thing to our people downriver, which we are obliged to. We have ratepayers down there, and we're making sure more water gets out. I mean, it's. I think we've already handed that decision over to our general manager, but it came up once before to make that decision, Councillor Sutherland. And I think I'm right.
We've been asked to endorse something.
I've got a delegation to do it, but like obviously the council feels strongly that they we're going the overkill. I'm happy to.
With 150,000 metres in George, on top of what we've already got going, sorry, Mr. Mayor, this is all through you. I think we should be forgetting about water restrictions at the moment. We've just got a surplus of water. And whatever we do here will not have any impact downstream at all, one bit. The big thing we could probably do to save water is probably fix our leaky pipes. That would probably save more water than putting level one water restrictions on.
I don't agree with that much. I must add there, Councillor Stuff, I did support the general manager. He rang me up and I supported him on that there. But I mean, it's up to you, it's your call. Do you think we should be off the entitled water restrictions? You make that call, but you did give the delegation to the general manager before. Councillor Ford, then you, Councillor Tuckle.
Just as some information as to the delegation that was given to the general manager back at that point in time, we were expecting a very low flow.
Yeah.
And we didn't know whether that flow would make it to Louth to anywhere at all. This is probably a slightly different situation now.
Absolutely.
Fairly sure that I don't think there's any doubt that it's going to make it through the end of the system at this time.
Thank you, Councillor Tuttle.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that the hope was to get 60,000 megs, I think, into Lake Wetherill or whatever it is.
Yep.
And now, though, just the current flow, they were expecting 60 to 80. And as our expert in water tells us, there's a lot of water coming. And so I don't think we need a virtual signal any longer.
Well, I'll need a motion from the floor to change that one, over here.
Yeah, well,
that's our recognition.
Because as it reads out of GM, has got the authority.
Well,
one at a time, please. Yeah, yeah.
No, at the moment.
Say finally to the question.
Well, at the moment, if you move three motions, what you're actually moving is a motion to say we revert back to no water restriction, just to say.
Yes. You want to move that, Councillor Sutherland? Yes. Thank you. Do I have a seconder for that?
I'm not sure what we're voting on, Mr.
Well, I'll get it up there for you, Councillor Dorrington.
I've got a mover and seconder for the recommendation.
Yeah,
that's the mover and seconder of the recommendation withdraw their support for the recommendation, then we can start fresh.
Who did I have then? Who did move that
list? The Stutzel and Ford. Yeah. So, if Councillor Stutzel is now moving that we don't report and take water restrictions off.
Removal of water
restrictions. Yeah. Within the town of Bourke and with the.
Shortly, the end of the month, the irrigation pumps will be probably pumping thousands of megs out of the current flow.
I'm not willing to back his amendment.
It's not a motion now. Because
I'm not willing to back. You're withdrawing me off as a seconder for that.
Right.
I'm not willing to back that. I'm comfortable with the GM having.
Right, so I need to go back to it. Now, it was moved by Councillor Stutzel and seconded. Where has that gone, Kate?
What we've got now, the way I see it, that the recommendation initially was withdrawn. The motion to accept the recommendation was withdrawn. There's a subsequent motion to say that we withdraw water restrictions, or we revoke all water restrictions within the town of Bourke and North Bourke.
How about we impose our policy?
Revert to policy.
Revert to policy.
Which is no water restriction.
So the motion is the council revert to adopt the flood drought management policy in place of water restrictions.
So you're moving on them lines, Councillor?
Yes.
Duttall? Just be aware, Councillor Stutzel, as you move this motion, the GM and the Mayor have the delegation within that policy to put on what they want.
Sure, take advice from my wife.
Are you understanding what Councillor Ford just said then? We can still change it back there.
And I think the reason we've done this, as the Mayor pointed out, is the communities downstream. We're just trying to show a degree of support. But at the top of the bottom, we've had the Minister shining at Queensland that water through, and I suppose it's just been in sync with the ability to get the water as far down the rivers as we can. And that's all I'll say.
Councillor Davis?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. I mean, with the amount of water that's coming down, what we're doing is really a feel-good thing for the people down. It's not going to, whether we're on no water restrictions or we're on level one, it's not going to make a difference. But it does make us look like we're caring, which we do. And the other question I had is, at what point is the trigger point, or what are you thinking is when you'll lift it all together? Are you going to say when it gets to Louth or when it gets to Tilpa, or are you going to wait until it gets to Manini before you go back to what the policy...
That's a very good point.
Yeah. When it rushes into the sea...
It's a question, because at the moment...
Chair, I'd like you to go through it, please.
At the moment, it's a... we've got level one, the water's flowing over the weir. So... That triggers no water restrictions. We're saying level one, but at what point are we going to lift it all together, if we're going to lift it?
We don't have to lift anything. We just go back to policy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We'll go back to policy. But what's going to be the trigger? What do you...
This afternoon, Berkshire Council is hosting a teleconference with all councils along the Barb and Darling to just discuss the water issues, amount of water coming down. We've got a guy called Adrian Langdon and a lady called Vanessa O'Keefe. They're both executive members of the Port of New South Wales. They'll be just talking to us, and maybe the information they impart today may impact on the decision. But at this stage, I agree there's a heap of water coming down, and I also agree that our minor sacrifice is probably won't have a great deal of impact, but I think just the rationale was that it does show a faith, but that's...
I still haven't had my question answered.
At this stage, one of the things we answered, the current situation is the water is currently embargoed until Friday, am I right, Councillor McCullough? Mm-hmm. Are you pumping? So in fact, if the embargo got lifted, one would assume that we'd be swimming up to let people irrigate
Pump. Yeah, well, that's I don't have a problem with the level one. I mean, that's not a problem. And I think it is a show of support. But what is the cutoff? Like, what do you anticipate? So that people know, we're going to wait till it gets to Tilburg, but then
We're not entirely.
It can't be trial and error. There has to be a trigger.
When the embargo.
I've got Councillor Stutzel and then I've got Councillor Dorrington.
Mr. Mayor, this weather, usually March, is an ideal time for lawns actually start to grow. And so if there's an opportunity being lost, some lawns and things will come back if they get a power of water right now. And that's probably not 2 hours a day is not conducive to that.
14 hours a week, I mean, it's a fair bit of water, Councillor Cuthbert.
For grass to actually start to run, it needs lots of water. Mm-hmm. A little bit of water will keep it alive. If you want to get a lawn going, you need lots of it.
I think that there is some lawn ground down there.
Just
At this stage, you've got a motion that we rescind it, that we
go back to the one
which has been moved by Councillor Stutz, and we're still looking for a seconder, the way I understand it.
Yeah. Councillor Thompson, thank you.
So what
are we... The motion is we revert back to the policy, which means that the water's going over the weirs, the restrictions are off.
Yes. And we don't change it until it stops running over the weirs. That's the way it reads, Councillor Davis. Councillor Davis, that's how it's always read.
That's fine, yeah. I'm happy with what you guys are doing at the moment.
Thank you.
But I just, all I asked was what is it going to be a trigger point for you now?
When it stops running over
the weir.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. If it reaches Tilpa, if the embargo's lifted, if it reaches Menindee, when's the feel good out?
Councillor Dorrington?
Just my understanding that we'll have no water restrictions now with this motion, and that restrictions will not come back in until the water stops flowing over the weir.
That's the way it reads.
No restrictions until it stops flowing over the weir again.
Yeah, that's the way it actually reads.
What Councillor Davis was asking, if we could leave level one in, do you leave them infinitum, or is there a trigger point to revert back if the water reaches a certain point downstream once it starts going into Lake Wetherill, for example? But
I'm happy to leave it on level one and say when the embargo's lifted, we lift. Okay. Finished.
Isn't this, to me, if I just ask the question, the motion is that we just revert to our...
Original thing. I think we've had enough debate on it now.
That should have left number one on anyway. You don't have to do anything with number one. Just the number one stays on if we revert to our original policy.
No, it doesn't.
Because you still have the delegation within that policy.
Once the decision's played here, I've got no delegation.
The policy says that the delegation is to you and to Barry. 100%.
The way I've always read it, I agree with Councillor Thompson.
So, you can say you don't have, but at the end of the day, you do still have that delegation. I would say that it makes no difference to where we are currently, and you take off when you're ready to.
And that was voted on by Councillor. So, you understand all that, Councillor. I think we've had a long enough debate on it. We need to move on from it. And it's been moved by Councillor Sutton and seconded by Councillor Thompson. Yep. We go back to Council's standing policy. All those in favour, show me your hand, please. That's carried. Thank you. So we're on
14.1 and 14.2.
So I have a second of Councillor Dorrington, Councillor Stutzel, thank you. Any questions? All those in favour? That is carried. Now on page 51. Do I have a recommendation on page 53? Is that going to move it there? Councillor Barclay? Councillor Davis, thank you. Any questions?
Questions?
Yep.
Do we need to wait for those other sheets to come? No.
You like to roll it out? Any questions on that, Councillor? You know we're on to the quarterly budget review statement.
So, Councillors, just for your information, the budget review was presented as at the 31st of December. On page 58, there are a number of variations. They're the comments from the variations from page 57. So you can see that there's been an increase in interest for overdue rates of 20,000, an increase in diesel fuel rebate for 25,000. I won't go through all of them, but they're the variations that have been undertaken as at the 31st of December. happy to take any questions in relation to those variations.
Go on page 58, councillors. Any questions on any of that?
And then there's the capital budget review statement on page 59, and the variations for that are on page 60. So a lot of that is offset income against expenditure with grant funds that has been received. The budget is, we're looking fairly good at the moment and on track. So we're very lucky to receive the grant funding that we get to keep it that way.
Any questions, councillors? I'll put it to be moved by Councillor Barton and seconded by Councillor Davis. All those in favour? That's carried, thank you. Page 70, which is the delivery plan half yearly review. Move and a seconder for that, please. Councillor Cole, Councillor Rice. Thank you. Any questions?
So this review is a six-month review for where we're at with our management plan, or delivery plan that falls out of our community strategic plan. Everything is on a track to be around about that 50%. There's a couple of things that we haven't quite achieved yet, but they are things that hadn't taken place by the 31st of December and will take place into the last part of the financial year. Some of the things are overachieved. I'm happy to take any questions in regards
to... Just one... the North Bourke Bridge, improve access to the North Bourke Bridge and reopen the pedestrian traffic. It says 50% along. It's looking absolutely beautiful at the moment. Whenever you put a photo of it on social media, it gets so many hits, it's unbelievable. I'm just wondering what that 50% progress is.
Oh, well, we're 50% through the year and we have got secured some funding for the North Bourke Bridge. We've certainly now have identified costs that will to bring it back to the standard. And we've got another application in for funding that we feel may be successful. So,
for that particular project?
Yes.
Yeah. For the whole lot?
Yes. So project is approximately a $1.7 million
job.
Yeah.
Councillor Thompson? Page 74, there's a reference there to ensure opportunities with regards to the NBN are maximised, 100% progress, apparently because the NBN is available in Bourke. One thing council could do, but hasn't done, is to ensure that all premises in Bourke are connected by fibre to the premises. That's distinct from fibre to the nose. By doing that, then we would maximise the opportunities with regards to the NBN. Until that's done, we won't be maximising it. So it should be 5% rather than 100%.
From the community strategic plan, I mean, it was a dream of ours some 8 years ago that we actually had NBN in Bourke, and something that was a request and we never thought would be realised. So to have it here has ticked the box. I mean, it'd be great if we had fibre to the residents, but I guess we can continue to lobby for that. But there's a lot of other communities in Australia that haven't even got what we've got. So I think that's a dream as well, and it may be something that we can include in our long-term, our community strategic plan going forward. But as in relation to the request from the community was that we had NBN in Bourke, and it has arrived and it is here. Understand areas outside of Bourke don't have it, but the Bourke Township does, so that's why it's 100%.
Totally
agree. Page 77, the last entry, seek to conserve water where possible and effective. Through you, Mr. Mayor, does Council have a program to repair all leaks in the town, or is it just done on an ad hoc basis? Following the conversation, the discussion this morning, it appears, for example, that for a year there's been a leak outside the two web premises which hasn't been attended to. I'm wondering how many more there are like that around town which are costing council water.
Councillor Compton, look, Councillor Brown, manager of Western Point, said he was unaware of that. I'm also quite certain that if Berkshire Council knows of any leak in the town that's been mentioned to them, we will go out and do it. I don't know what our situation is, we don't go around every street in Birken Lane and down in Birken Lane for leaks. It's not that we rely on people to bring it forward to us. If they don't, we have a leak. We try to address the problem as soon as it becomes available and known to us. I can assure you of that.
So council has a system, and if there's a phone call put through the front office, it is recorded into a database, which then produces a document that is sent to each individual department manager and then out to the work supervisors. That document is then handled, and it is written on what was undertaken. It is then brought back, and it is updated in the database. So anything that is recorded through the front office as an issue, not just wanting a phone call to talk to somebody, but about something that occurred on a road, a drain, a pipe, a dog bite, a dog that's around, we have that documentation. So we will leave this meeting and go and see when it was reported to TWEB and undertake as to why that wasn't fixed.
Thank you.
Any further questions, councillors? Been moved by Councillor Collins, seconded by Councillor Wright. No further questions. All those in favour? So, thank you. Page 96.
So, this report.
Can I move Councillor Dorrington? Can I have a second or two? Councillor Wright, thank you.
This is a report in regards to an electric vehicle charging station. They made contact with the general manager last year, and the general manager wrote a letter of support to bring one of these systems to Bourke. They were here on the 3rd of December. Myself and the manager of tourism and events met with them. We went to the back of Bourke Exhibition Centre where we felt that this charger would probably be best to be installed. And because it's out of town, it's not manned 24/7. It's, you know, in the winter time it gets dark by 5 o'clock, and these people are not there. They actually didn't like that location, and they came back into town and identified two locations. One is at the Mitchell Street, in front of the beside the men's shed, and the other one is down on Glen Street near the tennis courts. I think that the third location is down on Mitchell Street, and this report is to get the support of council to continue to negotiate an electric vehicle charging station. The manager of environmental services took a photo of one that's installed at Parks recently, and they look good. So if anybody would like to see that, we can print those photos at morning tea.
Councillor
Ford?
I don't
want
to send a photo, I'm happy to support the idea. It's a good idea, and it'd be better off to be on the NRMA's radar and then that we have it with things like that than to not be.
And if things are heading that way, we want to do yeah.
Bob's radar. We could do that, Bob. For Bob's radar as well. So if he's elected radar, it'll be alright. That's a good idea. Thank you,
Councillor Ford. Any further questions, Councillor Suttle?
Yeah. I was assuming it's only for one, but perhaps there's more than one. What, can only one...
There's an option for two. But they'll have, if we do that, there'll be two parking bays, and they have to be designated for the...
DBs.
Yeah, DBs, so...
And some of them will have to change the parking a bit too, because some overseas plate in the front.
It's 90 degrees.
So you can have the choice, when you put your back in or your front in.
I mean, anything that was new to possible council would you support.
The thing is, I wouldn't like to leave my car down that intersection all night.
It's 45 minutes charge.
There's one in Berg, usually one in Berg, for all the night, and this one's, yeah, which is pretty rude.
Councillor Collins?
Yeah,
He can, but my understanding that he was there is he can charge and go home, but it's a slow process. If you're going to keep going and go drive around town, it's not a problem. But if you want to go somewhere, you need that fast charge.
Right. That has been moved by Councillor Dowling, seconded by Councillor Rice. All those in favour? That was carried. Thank you. Page 99. And there's a recommendation on page 99 for the show move, Councillor Stutz on Councillor Ford. Any questions? All those in favour? That is carried, thank you.
You're going to do that one anyway, it should be started.
Yeah, that's why I started.
Yeah, so page 20, what page is that on? 105. That should have been start. Go to page 105, councillors, and you'll see what I'm just talking about there then. That's a letter that came in from Virginia Farm. You mean Councillor Ford and Councillor Stutzel? Any debate on it, councillor? Councillor Dyington?
A couple of comments. I have made a declaration because I'm related to the applicant.
Yep.
But I just like to point out a couple of things. In the current situation paragraph, that only finishes up by mentioning ordering stock, the applicant's letter states stock and domestic. The second point I would like to make, the financial implications cost yet to be determined, just point out that the applicant has offered to pay the cost of materials and labour to have the installation or the connection made. And finally, there's in the recommendations that we seek a report, and yet the ability of Northburg Water Reticulation System to cater for the additional connection has been subject to a review by a water engineer. So I read that as the fact that we've actually got a report. And the review is yet to be fully evaluated.
That's your last point is exactly right.
Councillor Powell, then Councillor Ford.
Oh, there you go. Oh, it's just a question really, Mr. Mayor. This is treated water, I assume?
Filtered water.
Filtered water. So, do we provide filtered water to stop?
No,
it'd be both. Oh, it's both?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not filtered water for stock use?
Well, I'd hope not.
Could filter them all.
Councillor Ford.
Just wondering if they can produce the manager of. To give us just enough what's your thought, like not necessarily your thoughts, but what's our infrastructure there? What is, because I'm led to believe it's not quite as easy as just tapping in a pipe and it's weird. Might have even paid for that infrastructure.
That's a good question because we've just done the, and I've read through the report that we received. I only received it, I was going to say last Friday, but I think it was the Friday before. I've been away for a week. And they've outlined an area at North Bourke where the system has reached its capacity, and there's seven recommendations there of what needs to be fixed or upgraded to maintain that system without spreading the tentacles any further. And one of those options is the Berkshire Council to potentially use the Abattoir pumps and line to subsidise North Bourke without any more joins into that line. We've got a big 8-inch pipe going all the way out to the meatworks. There's a potential to take tees off that and feed back into the system so it's looped and not just hitting ends, so pipes aren't just going to a dead end stop, it needs to be fully reticulated. So when the water pumps around in a circle, North Bourke doesn't do that, unfortunately. There's too many ends. As we're Bourke, we run around a levee. And the water main feeds from one end to the other, just keep going around and around. It gets more pretty, that's how it works. At this stage, the report that I will bring back stated that there's been an overall development until some costings and work are completed, major work completed on that line. But if we leave it to the basic
North Burke Line, you know, they've said they needed 750 kilolitres of potable water potentially at peak, and basically that's what that supplies. Any alterations to that, and you know, we're not quite sure what Virginia Farms are asking for. It could be a 2-inch line, a 4-inch line. If they're going to feed stock, you know, all these things will make a huge difference to what that line.
And each time we open up further along there, it opens up the next place.
Yeah, correct.
Potentially, is that?
I've got the GM first, Councillor Dolan, and I'll come back to you.
So the recommendation is not necessarily on the application to hand. That's what Councillor Forbes just said. We've had a number of, when it was dry, we had a number of requests to extend it out. And I suppose what we want to make sure, we've got the ability to get the water where it goes. At the moment, there's like a not just North Burke, you can go to Burke, for example, there's lines which go out a lot further out what I would call a normal town reticulation area, which means that we're going to be able to pump the water out there, the pressure on the pumps and the pressure. But we've got to have the ability to be able to make sure we can maintain it going forward. And what you've said, Councillor Ford, we've had, I'd say, 3 or 4 other requests during the period. And what we've got to do is normally most councils charge what I call headworks cost. That if you're going to get the water connected, you're going to pay something towards existing infrastructure. This report's geared at is to make sure we can supply. People are asking to do permission to buy. It's not going to adversely impact the current system and cause us to, money to upgrade the system. The interesting question in relation to the meatworks, that line going out to the Outfire belongs to the council. It may have been constructed under the auspices, but it's if we get the funding, it becomes our line. That this needs to be clear to everybody. But this is not a dynamic recommendation, is a no. The recommendation is we've got to make sure that going forward, we've got the infrastructure down to handle it.
Just another question for you, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Brown. I would imagine just one more residence would not be an onerous thing. It'd be more the stock use and the possibility that you might have a lot of others as well that might climb on board. Is that what you're concerned with?
So the concern is that in the report there's a pump curve that states the usage, and the usage curve usually runs along the bottom, and the pump curve comes from the top and meets the usage curve. So whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20 litres a second. So our usage curve goes like that, and the pump curve meets it halfway, which means it's just about ready to fire.
Yeah.
Usage line should be along the bottom. So any more extension of the Norfolk water line is a potential for it to fail. And I think, and that's at peak usage, sorry. So, you know, for 90% of the time, it will handle one more, two more residents, no drama. But you can ask Councillor Davis that in times of huge need, the supply struggles, and you know, there's not much we can do about it, unfortunately. And they pay rates out there.
So huge need's not there at the moment for some meatworks that's not operating.
Well, that's correct.
But it doesn't operate.
It's on a separate line, which is, yeah.
I think I've got Councillor Dying the first, Councillor Dave, then you.
A question, I was just wondering whether the, we should adopt not the recommendation, but advise the applicant that we're not in a position on presently held data, we can't provide another connection to that line. Rather than keep them hanging in it by the fingernails until when? How long?
Councillor Davis?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. It's not just one or two people that will want a connection. Once it's given to one or two, it will then, spark other people, which is roughly so, other people to ask, and I would imagine it could be 5, 6, 7 others. Identified.
Is our answer a bigger pump or pump and line or line, or what is our answer to?
So our answer is we need to upgrade the existing headworks infrastructure and water main. So luckily enough, 10 years ago, we updated all the headworks. We put in the bigger pumps, we put in the bigger pipe to the road, which is 150 millimetre. unfortunately, all the lines that were put in by the residents is only 50 mil. So it's fine for the first few hundred metres, but it all has to be updated to 4 inch. So we went from the 50 mil line to the 100 mil. We could then extend, and obviously that's part of our progress, and we need to move forward.
Counter forward.
So presently, as Councillor Dorrington was saying, to say we can give them some sort of answer, we're not currently budgeting to put in that we're not currently budgeting to put in that new infrastructure that would allow us to do. It's not in our current scope.
It's not in our current budget, but once you receive that report, I believe that we may move forward into our next 10-year plan to...
I didn't envisage in 10 years we might have it in there, but currently we're not looking at it in the next 12 months putting it in line to allow those people to be on it.
And just for the council's information, I've received several requests since the line's gone down the River Road and one from the Wenaring Road. So, but they didn't come to council, they didn't address it to council, it was just addressed to the general manager. I've dealt with them in-house and replied, unfortunately at this stage, council will not accept your request.
With this big application, aren't they seeking to tap into the Meatworks lines?
That's the way I read it.
So that's different from this report, really.
Well, see,
I wonder if they could have to have tanks, so they might fill when the Meatworks might be filling their tanks at night or something.
I don't know. Councillor Davis?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. When's the report currently being...
It's done. I've got it on my desk. I just haven't...
We have guaranteed the Meatworks are much water than they are.
That's the problem.
We have to look at that one first before this one came.
Where we pay, $2,500, $3,000 a year for the access is bigger that comes into it. But it makes no difference to us because when at peak, we still, our sprinklers are sort of this big when it's at peak usage, regardless of whether we're paying, the smaller access or the bigger access. So it's really, it just can't.
I think that our only outlook is that unfortunately we have to reply to that letter and advise them that we believe our current infrastructure won't handle that there. And I don't see another option at this stage. Unless you've asked for a report to come back to see what we have to do and what costing, but I don't think we're up to that part yet.
We'll eventually hear that.
Councillor Stutter makes a good point. The Meatworks line's potentially not in that report. It'll make up part of it, but it's a separate line. Just on that, when the Meatworks originally opened, we were pumping water and they were wanting it faster than we could provide it, so we already know it's under pressure. But the report's not on the Meatworks line now.
But it being part of our infrastructure, there may be a time in the future where we can use it as part of the looped system that you're talking about. To decrease the
upgrade. So our line will subsidise the Meatworks and the Meatworks will subsidise us. So it'll all be part of one system. It's no good us having two systems at Northburg. How it was developed.
But at the current point in time, we don't have the ability to do that. So what's the current motion say, sorry?
As per the recommendation, the letter's got to say that we're reviewing it. At this stage. We're reviewing it and the building to cater for it. And as I said earlier, this is not an issue about one person. This is about you. This is about handling the other requests we're going to get as
and
well.
And we're going to get that. That's right. We still need to do it for one of us. We need it as well. So I think the recommendation's right there that Council think a report on the ability of the North Bay Water reticulated system to be able to meet a different demand side of making a decision. I think we should make a decision that we do get a report on that, but I'll need something from the board. Do you agree? Councillor Stussell?
No, that'll be me.
Right. But it's already been moved by Ford and
Stussell.
That word on, let's just suggest, Mr. Mayor, just review. The word seek should be reviewed. Review the report and we're doing it to go and meet the mayor and make a decision. We've got the report,
which is all wonderful, la-di-da council words, Mr. GM, but at the end of the day, that doesn't give them an answer to the fact that we haven't got any budget to do this at the moment. That we're not, this is not going to be, but that doesn't give them a time frame that, right, this might be done in the next 6 months or 3 months. That gives them a time frame of nothing. Can we put in there that we do be honest with them and tell them it's currently not on our radar to...
Well, it's not countable. Yeah.
I think just with the current development of current new development we have, especially to the development to the inset site where we have five or six blocks and there's still six or seven blocks free at the new development behind the airport. So, and we haven't connected those lines as yet.
So we still have some fairly large impositions to go ahead with before we start adding on extras to the... So the review is all good, but we've got a fair idea what's in the review already. And that doesn't give them that
Well, maybe we should be expediting this then, saying, well, look, we've got a problem, and we'd like to be able to say yes to people like Susan and Warren. Let's hurry along.
Yeah, but I think we should go back to what Councillor Hawes said and just be upfront. So at this stage, we are unable to grant that because.
I was looking for something better than that. Well,
I think you're
looking for
being honest.
And...
Well, I'd rather be honest.
Well, we can be honest, but let's expedite it. Let's get the report in. Let's decide to do something about it.
And like I say, I'm not a hydrological engineer, but again, we need to get the report to see what impact was going to have and what it was going to cost to do it. And then if it's peanuts, you might do it. But if it's a couple hundred thousand, you may not do it.
But I need a motion that we reply to the letter that we received.
The current motion we've got is adopt the recommendation. Unless you that one and change it.
No. And they really only need to understand that, yes, we're looking at it. Yes, we realise there are people out there that would like to go on to that. but at the present time, it's not in our sights.
So I need somebody to move on those lines. We need to move on from this. That's about it. Sorry, jumping up. I've already got a thing from Ford
and Stutzel.
And Stutzel
it's only the actual wording of it. That's all we're looking for.
The council review the report and the applicants be advised accordingly.
Yeah, that person comes to death.
Yeah, that's okay. Thomas advised accordingly, and then they get to be well aware of where the report's at.
So Councillor Ford, Councillor Tuffin, you're okay with that?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, Peter will be able to say this. In their letter, they've asked about the abattoir line that goes straight past there. And it just clicked my mind when someone said about the hydraulic engineer. The abattoir line was only specced as part of what I believe is called the abattoir with no extra load on it. So that was that pipe that runs out there and the infrastructure where it goes to, that's to give the abattoir the how many kilolitres, Peter might remember how many kilolitres it was per day. So this is actually... The branch that runs past Virginia Farms at the moment is that the two lines going to the abattoir directly from Burke that were put in just for the abattoir, and there was spec for the hydraulic engineer coded.
750 kilolitres a day. 500 was filtered and 250 was raw.
Yeah.
And it was bare bones. So unfortunately, Mr. Mayor, when it was installed, they were doing it cost for the, you know, they were wanting to save money and they didn't look into the future. That's their 500 and 250 was to kill 6,000 goats a day. Currently, they're only killing 600, so there's obviously water available. But
if they do ramp up to 6,000, we take the load off.
And we've guaranteed their water supply.
Yeah, that's what worries me. We guaranteed their water supply.
We've got a motion, and now Councillor Ford, Councillor Duffy, you're okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine. long as they're getting, you know, long as they're getting advised.
Yeah,
I just believe in the street.
Oh, yeah, I think we've had a good debate on it. All those in favour? That's carried, thank you. We'll now break for morning tea.
Mr. Mayor, prior to going to morning
tea, Councillor, please.
If you don't mind, I don't know who to...
Councillors!
Please, I'm trying to say something. I don't know who to address my comments and my question to, but I've been approached by a couple of community members who frequently visit PCYC to utilise the facilities that they've got there. The questions they've asked me is, what is the situation with the air conditioning? Who's in charge of that? Who looks after it and makes sure that it's running properly? Because at sometimes the air conditioning is not functioning properly. And they want to know who looks after that. And I said, well, I'll ask council if it's on the circle. So who would be able to...
Yes. Mr. Mayor, we handle the building maintenance at PCYC. And I've had no requests for any air conditioning. And what happens, sometimes they've just gone through a management change up there. We was having some dramas with the management up there prior. I'm not reporting to council. We're not reporting council staff on any maintenance issues that was happening. We're having to change that in with the new management set up at PCYC because we're being told a lot of second-hand information that we didn't know about.
We'll find out for you. I'll take it as a question, general question, Councillor Bartley, because it's not on the agenda.
I'm happy to get you an answer
through the Manager Environmental Services.
Well, it's going to answer, but more
than
you want.
So that's where we're at.
So what is it, Brian?
You can't fix what you don't know about.
Yeah, that's why we can't fix what we don't know. It's not going to report to council.
Yeah, I do apologise. Yeah. It couldn't be on the agenda because I was only afraid to smile.
Yeah, no, it's one like.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Barnett.
But it is. It is. It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Barnett.
I have an obligation.
The network in my family is quite good. Gentlemen, this day, we are being recorded. As councillors, we're like you all to welcome today our superintendent Andrew Hirst, who's become a regular here. We thank him for being, since he's held the high position, they're still coming here. So thank you very much for that, Andrew. Sergeant Paul Figgins informed me he wants to talk about something today. But the one I think that all should be grateful, we've got Robert Taylor back, and he said he was there and he used to work with Bob Stutter, so I said, well, I won't
hold that. He must be
old. So, gentlemen, the previous welcome today. And we'll hand it over to you, Andrew,
and thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good morning, councillors. Because we are being recorded, we won't get Mr. Taylor here to share any stories of the Rob Stutzel.
Where is he?
But I think there is a 6-month statute of limitations on any of those offences, so he's probably in a safe space now as well. Listen, if I could just give a brief update as we approach the end of February with where we sit with crime. We've had a very pleasing month of crime. The disclaimer is if you've been a victim of crime this month, our crime statistics don't mean great deal to you at all, and I appreciate that. What I can say is we've had a very good month for property crime and malicious damage offences that dropped sharply this month. And to quote the figures for Burke particularly, we've had this month one break and enter from a dwelling, which is a house. We've had one stealing from a dwelling. We had one stealing from a motor vehicle. So. That's our property crime in terms of general property crime. One of the schools in the community has been victimised several times, very deliberately, trying to get access to property inside the school. And we're working behind the scenes now to investigate that. Having said that, our malicious damage is here. We've had four for the month. So given the amount of activity we generally see in this time, we're very happy with those crime figures in general. Behind the scenes, as I've mentioned to council previously, we reorganised our target action group. It's now a proactive crime team. We've changed the charter for how they do business and what they're targeting. And we've had some very good successes in recent times. And I hope to be able to share the results of some of our operations in the next few months. But the team's working very well. Late as last night, we arrested a woman, a 63-year-old woman who has links to this community. She left the bus service with in excess of 100 OxyContin tablets, which was destined for our community here. And we all know that the impact those type of drugs have on our town. So significant arrest, and what's pleasing was our frontline cops that were just doing their business and I guess reacting to information from the community in general. So that media release has gone out. What I've said to you now is it's on the public record, if not now, very shortly through the media unit. So there's lots of stuff going on, and we're sort of limited by what we can say publicly. And I've said this before with drugs and drug investigations, often we're sort of in that a contradictory position where we'd like to be able to share what we do every day and promote to the community that your information is being acted on and that we take it seriously. But often with drug investigations, we can't do that until after the investigation is finished, and then we can release the full results, I guess. So behind the scenes, though, the team's going very well. I can announce that the replacement for the Burke officer in charge will commence on the 15th of March. His name is Jeff Little. Inspector Jeff Little is coming from the Newcastle area. And in the absence for the last 5 months, Lindsay McDonald and more recently Rob Taylor as the acting OIC have done a wonderful job. I mentioned at the last meeting about some staff shortages we've had in Burke, and that was around sort of an unusual amount of staff that had completed their time here and transferred out really in quick succession to different parts of the North Coast, New South Wales, right before Christmas, and trying to recruit people prior to Christmas is very difficult. People just don't want to commit to moving until the new year. So at this stage, we'll have one vacancy, and we have two new officers start today, essentially for the next 2 months, the replacements for community. You see lots of fresh faces in the community. Councillor Cole can lawfully target people again for profiles. The new wave of police, I'm sure, will embrace that as well. We've also, the selection panel today, it appears as though we've filled one of our positions for Agonia. At this stage, all is looking good, and we hope to have some news out about that after a selection panel is held today. We'll probably negotiate a replacement sometime March into April. So that's the broad summary, I guess, of where we stand in the Burke sector. Happy to ask any questions, or take any questions, and then I'll get I'll throw it to you for some commentary as well that I'd like to share.
Any questions, councillors?
I'm looking at you, Mr.
Yes, Councillor Bartley.
I haven't got a question. I'm just going to comment to make Henry. I've been fortunate enough to be a part of a project that PC Wise has put together for our young kids, 15 or 17, the Aboriginal kids. You've got a couple of good police persons there, Gavin and Emily. They're very good with the kids. They can talk to the kids at the kids' level. The kids respect them, although they're a bit shy at this stage to answer questions and do things, I think. But I think with the perseverance from your troops there, this is going to be a good project for these kids. It gives them, a chance to better themselves, to look forward to get a better education, to know what to do when they're going to look for a job, etc., etc. And I think it's about 8 or 9 weeks course or project. But I'd like to commend your two police personnel there, Emily and Gavin.
Yeah, thank you. I think we discussed broadly before in this forum about the Rise Up program, which is a suite of youth strategies that the Commission have developed. And there's a range of programs underneath that banner, which is Fit for Life, Fit for Home, and the course you're referring to is one of those programs. But what we found on a local level is the kids that engage with the PCYC, the ones that we refer to them, we refer through Narranooka, through that stakeholder, that process, or referred by the police directly. Those that engage with the PCYC programs, very high success rate of diversion. Unfortunately, though, those kids that engage in those programs, the ones that stick with it aren't the ones that cause the German Jewish community grief or also community grief. And they're often kids that won't engage. So they're the ones that get to treat differently, but try and get the same outcomes for. And that's really delivering services, sometimes to kids that don't want, try and engage their families, to interact with police and social service providers, and they also may not want to do that. And that's where our partners at JJ's, other agencies behind the scenes, who work really hard to try and divert all the kids in town that come on the radar for crime. But the PCYC has done a wonderful job. We're dealing with some kids that there's some really significant personal issues, and they do a great job, they're very patient, and do a great job at really tailoring the program to suit the needs of these kids. And if that wasn't here, that service, and they weren't doing that particular role, I'm sure the community would see a much different landscape with juvenile crime than we see
here. And as an older Indigenous person in the community, when I see other young Indigenous kids, getting that extra doc, it makes me feel good. Makes me feel good to be a part of that. And I spoke to the kids last week and I said, this is what you've got to do because you are our future. And a lot of them, they realise things like that. But with a lot of help from the police, people like you've got there, and us older Aboriginal community members, we may be able to achieve something. But I think, Emily and Gavin for playing their part in this project.
Councillor Davis?
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming today. Just a quick question in regards to the school break-in attempt. Is there CCTV? It almost seems like there needs to be some there by the school because it continually gets targeted, doesn't it? It seems to be a reoccurring. It's a thought.
Absolutely. We've looked at that.
Yep.
Looked at sending up our crime prevention officer undertake a safety or security audit to try and provide some advice, I guess, to the school as to how they can use the term target harden that particular facility. But you're right, it's CCTV in that particular area is limited. And the bulk of this community where crime occurs is covered in some way by CCTV for people either travelling to or travelling from a place where they've committed an offence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an enormous part of what we do every day with investigations. And the system we have that we use, which is essentially a council system, it's a hard area of business now. That particular end of town and that particular facility, CCTV is a little bit, it doesn't provide the same evidentiary value to us as it would in other areas. So we're going to work with the school, try and provide some advice because without getting too prescriptive in this open forum, recorded forum, defences are quite specific and targeted. And do you think we can do something behind the scenes to prevent those events from occurring in the future?
I know they tried to pull the handle off. I work at the distance ed office there, and they've tried to pull the handle off the switchboard, two doors where all the switchboard bits and pieces are. Yeah, and it'd be very easy to see with CCT people coming and going in that specific area there.
Any further questions, councillors?
Intention Inspector Greedy, we've asked him across today, he's sort of council with an update on programs that he's been involved in. Of course, previous background, I think at the first council meeting we brought him to, he's heavily involved with the West Tigers NRL Football Club. Depends where you sit in the NRL's picture, if you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. I can say that on public record. But he's got a long history with NRL, coaching and training, and bringing some of that background and his skills in the work. So,
just in relation to some of the youth strategies that we're going to implement in the next few weeks and few months. The first thing is Burke High School hasn't had a under 14 Buckley Shield Rugby League side for quite a period of time. I think it's 6 or 7 years. Buckley Shield plays in the statewide school competition. So when Brad Bickler and the NRL guys were up here before Christmas, we formulated a plan that if you to formulate the team, Burke High School, you need to come to school, behaviour at school in the community. So in relation to that, setting up that team, we had our first training session last Wednesday. So Dane Parnaby, Andrew Ryder and myself will be running that rugby league program for the school. Our first game is against Cobar High School. Statewide competition, so we've got to get through our first local pool. So our first game is against Cobar High School on the 3rd of April here at Davidson Field. So we had a good roll up with the kids, very talented. But you've got to come to school and behave in the community and behave with school teachers. So we're setting that up. You might be the best footballer in the world, but if you don't adhere to those rules that we've set in place, won't be part of the team. That's the first one. You probably remember the old Davidson Shield you had here for years and years. So basically, we've got that up and running again. That'll take place on the 6th of May, Wednesday the 6th of May. So basically, that's incorporating Cobar High School, Ningen High School, Burke High School, Warrana High School and Walgett. So we're going to be utilising Davidson Field for under 16 rugby league. So we're going to see if the council we can have the fields marked for that particular day and the posts up. Also, the netball for the girls under 16 at the netball courts. Oztag will be on the oval. I've got what the name of the oval is up on the corner. Yep, so we're going to have, that'll be years 7 and 8, and we're going to have indoor soccer at the PCYC. So we've got five schools. So we're going to work on a point system. Basically, first past the post. So that'll be the first. I think it's 2012 since we've had a Davidson Shield. It was very popular, so I was going to get that out on 2WEB future end with also the Buckley Shield. So that's up and running to help the kids in that community. Again, Andrew Ryder, the school teacher. You don't come to school, you don't behave yourself in the classroom and the community, won't be a part of those two programs. So that's a bit of a youth strategy we're hoping to implement for the community. That's about it.
Member Dalton?
I mentioned, with some degree of emotion, the Davidson Shield. I was involved in that quite a bit. Just mentioned that tennis and athletics were also featured very much in that competition between the schools.
And debating.
Yeah. Now we're debating as well.
Yeah, I think
we have plenty of that anyway.
Yeah, I think this is our first, the it hasn't been run. You're probably looking for 8 years or so. So this is our first putting it together. We're going to increase it for next year, but we thought we'd just keep it to the basics. We're not involving years 11 and 12 for their studies, so we're basically running it from years 7 to 10. So we just thought that the Brewarrina High School is a bit smaller than the rest, so we're just trying to incorporate the numbers. So we thought that like the rugby league under 16s, netball under 16s covers that age group. Oztag, the kids love the Oztag now, male and female, so that's popular. And then the indoor soccer, they love that. So then we'll increase it for the coming year. So it's just a start, basically, to get the schools involved again and to, again, help the kids with new strategies in not only Bourke, you look at Cabar, Walgett, Brewarrina and Walgett, so, and Ningen. So it should be pretty good. It's 6th of May, Wednesday, so start probably at 9 o'clock in the morning and run all day to the school. And then first past the post, we're basically going to run it because it's too hard running a grand final one. So we thought all the principals, we thought that would be the best way of doing it.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. So, is this like the senior school version of the Peachy Shield and Richardson Shield that they do in primary? So every year we have a Peachy Shield over in Cobar where the kids from the primary schools go and play a league, and the girls used to play netball, which is the Richardson Shield, and they would go further with that. They would go then to Dubbo.
So Buckley Shield. The under 14 rugby league, that's statewide. So that you basically we've got to play Cobar, Walgett, and England in our pool. If we go well there, then we'll probably move on to the next stage.
Right. So the Davidson one's just a.
No, that's just all local high school.
It just I just think it's fantastic because the kids do this. They love the Peachy Shield.
Yeah.
In the primary, you know, when they're in primary, but it was almost like they got to secondary school,
yeah,
and it just stopped, yeah. You know. And
well, the Buckley Shield, the rugby league under 14s, is Bourke hasn't had a team for quite a period of time.
Yeah,
so
those that were doing the Peachy Shield would now have that opportunity to continue on.
That's correct.
Which is great.
So, we're just going to keep those two programs, but again, we've got school and sport, so.
Yes.
Sort of, you know, it could be.
Primary's the same.
100%. Yeah.
I know, Paul, I'd just like to reendorse what Councillor Byington said. The Davidson Shield in my time used to be held over 3 days.
Yep.
Used to travel over in a semi-trail at the Brewine, a semi-trail at the Cobar on Dirt Road. We actually went by train to Ningen we used to go. But the other very important thing, I think, about sport, it opens up barriers. To,
yeah, it certainly does.
There. So I'm pleased with that there, but that dog hasn't come back on board.
Mr. Mayor, in relation to Cobar and Ingen, they've got coaches, and so the buses will be, so they've got coaches organised, so they'll, same with walkers and that, so it's going to be fairly big. This will be the first year, but then we'll expand it.
Best news I've heard in a long time.
That's good, you know, like, yes. Mr. Mayor, we did used to have indoor soccer and Oztag, and even though you might have dropped tennis, you've got that extra sport, so that's great. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, you can't beat sport, I think, probably kept me out of trouble.
Well, it does. So, I can see that.
Yeah, it'll be good for the kids, not only Bourke. It'll be good for the kids in Ningen, Cobar, Walgett, and Warrina. And all the principals are on board, so that's the main thing.
And the other thing there that we go back to sport and all that, but the debating thing was actually you couldn't get in the halls on night when they had the debate against town against town. And that debate on things like why did the too many cooks fall the boss and all that, and have people up saying no, it doesn't, you know. And your whole thing got in there supporting Bourke and cheering for Cobar.
So
we have a lot of community things, so that's great.
So we're just seeing if 6th of May, so I've got a bit of time, but just in relation to the fields and some field setting. I know the post of Harvard Davidson yet, but it's still cricket, but just seeing if the oval and that can be marked and all that, and probably a bit of time and netball and the other fields and the Oztag, that's about it. We're going to run a canteen there, the school's going to run a canteen. So it's going to be a fairly big day.
Just if you book the overs, they'll get one.
Do that, yeah.
Any further questions, councillors? Got anything from Bob's friend?
What questions have you got?
Well, no further questions, councillors. We'd like to thank Andrew, Paul and Robert for coming today. Thank you for that presentation. And I look forward to seeing how all that goes in the next few months. Thank you so much. And we're actually up to 810 report 212 from Councillor Supple, I think.
I'd just like to know a little bit about the toilet.
All right, yes. And that would be which?
What? Well, is it not working?
No, there's a toilet just appeared.
So through some funding, it was identified through community consultation that was an area that we needed a toilet in. We did have some leftover money to spend that in the North Road precinct. Where we've done the toilets and playground equipment, so we did have some savings there. So I was identified through that. So we put a toilet at that abatement. It is put there due to the flooding. We couldn't put it any closer, of course, if you want to crane, which is more of a tactical area where it wouldn't go in the flood there. So that's where it was identified for the community.
That's good, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just said, people ask me what they're doing there, and I said, I don't know. Then we thought, well, it might be a toilet to do the bridge. They might have been getting in early to put the toilet for the bridge repair or something. But I was waiting for it to come out in the paper so I'd know, but it didn't come out in the paper, so I had to wait. People ask me questions and I don't know the answer to, so but now I know.
We'll have to take a picture of it.
I thought it was TARDIS for soft blue.
The new dummies.
Can we get you in there?
Sorry, I overstepped. I need to move in a second minute because you started, Councillor Stuffer. Councillor Stuffer and Councillor Bartley.
Is it going to encourage tourists to pull up there? Because
I think it's important that the recreation area there.
It's brilliant. It's great.
The problem you have with tourists, if you get far up for the amenity device, local residents, it's probably important, I reckon.
Had a fairly new one down at the ramp before and when it flooded, but I'll get it.
Is it open?
Yes, it is. I checked that last night.
I just drove past it, looked like it was locked, but. It was a blue and white thing.
It can be locked, but it was open.
It can be, but not locked.
Yes, I didn't use it, but Mr. Mayor, but it did look very nice. I had a look inside.
So all those in favour with that?
Sorry. Too much information.
So now we go to the... You're going to do the list of what you're doing.
Somebody move we go into closed session of council. Councillor Dines and Councillor Davis. All those in favour? That's carried.